The State Assembly is expected to vote on three key bills this week. One that would place new limits on John Doe investigations. Another that would split the Government Accountability Board in two. And a third bill that would allow unlimited contributions to state political parties. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up on 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, October 20th. We will get a variety of perspectives on this legislation, including from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Katrina Shankland. And we are welcoming your input too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So, Dane County legislators are calling these three bills very dangerous proposals, and they claim democracy is under siege in Wisconsin. Your response to that?
Well, unfortunately, hyperbole is the rule of the week, because we know that during Act 10, they used the same kind of rhetoric saying that people would be bankrupt, schools would go out of business. We know when we passed voter ID, they said that it would disenfranchise folks. We know that when we made changes to legislation regarding, you know, many of the programs that we love in our state, they said that the world was going to come to an end. And here we are making common sense changes in our elections reform package. And of course, rather than focusing on the merits, they try to make accusations that are totally unfounded. You know, the reason that we're doing these, especially regarding the campaign finance and the John Doe, is because we've had a pretty simple message from the courts, and that's that the laws that were put into place in the early 1970s for campaign finance are outdated and have to be brought to speed with current court cases. We've also had that same discussion regarding John Doe. As you know, and I've heard you talk about it, we're the only state in the country that does John Doe's like this, and it's not literally only for political crimes that we're looking at changing it. We're looking for changing it in other ways, too, because having a star chamber where people aren't allowed to talk to anybody, they have to keep secret. But these investigations can use, you know, Gmail accounts rather than state accounts to avoid detection. Those are the things that we want in Wisconsin, and that's why I'm certainly happy that we're going to pass it this week.
Well, let's Representative Gary Hebel of Sun Prairie argued, for example, with the John Doe legislation that removing most political crimes from John Doe eligibility gives the impression that these are not serious crimes. How serious are they?
Well, they definitely are serious, and the penalties aren't changing. In fact, all we're doing is changing the process. For anybody who watches, you know, Law and Order or any of those shows on TV, you see that they use a grand jury where they bring together a group of citizens. The prosecutor has to use an open process where you're allowed to have your attorney. You're allowed to cross-examine witnesses. You're allowed to have, you know, any of those opportunities to understand the charges that are being made against you. That would be a similar process to what would happen in Wisconsin. So we're not trying to make it into something that would be special here. We're trying to make it so that it would be like the rest of the country. And as you read in newspapers, political crimes are charged and prosecuted in every part of the country as they occur, and they would continue to be here in Wisconsin with a process that's just more open, more transparent, and hopefully more fair.
So why is this change needed, Speaker Voss?
Well, we saw that during the course of the John Doe investigations with Governor Walker, it really brought into light the fact that we had this secret star chamber process where individuals had, you know, people come into their home in the early morning, which is not necessarily, you know, unheard of when the police do investigations. But the fact that they did it in a way where young children were at home, they couldn't even call their parents. They couldn't tell the school why they were late because we have this secret investigation process. And I think that's inherently a flawed part of what we need to fix.
Also tomorrow, the Assembly votes on a proposal to split the Government Accountability Board into two partisan commissions, one to handle elections, one to deal with ethics concerns. Why is it better to have a political or partisan appointees to the Government Accountability Boards rather than what we have now?
Well, it would be bipartisan, Joy, and that's the most important thing to point out. It would be similar to the way it's done in every other state around the country. as you know, and most people know, I voted for the TAB when we passed it about 6 or 7 years ago because I had hopes that it would be more fair. And I think that it started with a basic flaw, and that's that individuals who are involved in this process can be nonpartisan. I think all of us have a partisan leaning, and I would much rather have a situation where you have equal Republicans and equal Democrats able to find common sense solutions than people doubting the integrity of the process, which certainly has been done. The other thing that I think is important to note, as my colleague Dean Knudsen has said, number one, you have the GAB, which has all three branches vested in one authority. You have the legislative branch, where they can spend whatever they want to and conduct their own policies without review. You also have a process where they get to be the executive branch, judge and jury, with very little opportunity for input. And then ultimately, of course, you have the judiciary, where they get to make decisions that are bound by law. So I think we just put too much power in one agency. It was a failed experiment. Now we're going to go back to the norm around the country, where once again, they have fair elections. They have a free process. They prosecute people who break the law, but they do so in a way that is much more open and honest about admitting that people start with a bias and we attempt to correct that, as opposed to the process which was flawed from the beginning.
What do you say to critics, Democrats who are opposed to this GAB overhaul, who say that the GAB has been a model for the nation and that Republicans are just upset because the GAB made decisions that that Republicans didn't like?
Well, a model means that other people look at yours and they copy it. There is no state controlled by all Democrats that has adopted this GAB model. No state controlled by all Republicans, and no state with split government. So if you think that ours is the best, other people certainly would have copied it no matter what the political persuasion was. We haven't seen that occur, so I think that's also a flawed argument.
Why is it better to allow unlimited contributions to the state's political parties as the campaign finance legislation does?
But they already do join. That's current law.
Meaning so you're making state law adhere to what the courts are saying?
That's exactly right. So courts over the course of the past decade have dealt with campaign finance in a myriad of ways. And for some people who are listening who don't like Citizens United, I understand their perspective, but it's the law of the land. Just like I don't like the fact that we had gay marriage put on us by the Supreme Court. I think it should have been done by a legislature. I have to accept the fact that the Supreme Court has spoken, and the only way to change it is by adopting a constitutional amendment, not by saying we're not going to enforce gay marriage in Wisconsin. It's the same with campaign finance. For those who don't like Citizens United, they can try to change it, but we have to accept that as of right now, that is the law of the land. And I think it's a lot better after we've gotten such clear direction from the courts to say we want a bright line drawn so we know exactly what is and what isn't allowed.
Candidates could also coordinate with interest groups that keep their donors secret, provided the ads don't say vote for or vote against someone. Senator Mark Miller said this allows campaign ads to masquerade as issue ads. Are you concerned at all about that?
Well, I'm not, because once again, this is the First Amendment. For the people who want to restrict free speech, I just don't support that. I think that the thing that we need in our democracy is more discussion, more opportunity to hear both sides of the argument, and not having the government decide whose argument is better and limiting free speech, which unfortunately seems like Democratic colleagues are advocating for.
We are talking with Robin Voss, Republican State Representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker, about three bills that will come before the State Assembly this week, one that places new limits on John Doe investigations, another that splits the Government Accountability Board into two, and a third that allows unlimited contributions to state political parties. And we're welcoming any questions you might have for him, any views on this, at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Steve on Facebook says, this almost seems to have started because Voss has some sort of vendetta against the GAB. But that seems to be the Republican attitude. Increase GOP hold on power by any means possible. Forget about good governance and policymaking. What's your response to that, Speaker Voss?
Well, unfortunately, that's just absolutely not true. I mean, we've done lots of good policymaking. Just yesterday, I spent time at a domestic women's shelter talking about the fact that we've almost doubled funding to help get more of those shelters up and going and provide support. So, I mean, we are doing lots of good things, but that doesn't mean that just because we're focusing on education, jobs, schools, domestic violence, that we can't also make sure that we have an elections process that's fair for everybody. And that's exactly what we're doing. Once again, the GAB is going to be bipartisan, equal Republicans and equal Democrats, so that no one will question its integrity or the judgments that it makes.
Thank you very much for being with us. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Then we welcome in Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. The State Assembly takes up three major bills this week that deal with elections, ethics, and government. The legislation would rewrite John Doe investigation and campaign finance laws. And it would overhaul the Government Accountability Board. All three pieces will be coming up for a vote in the full assembly this week. We just heard from Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who supports these changes, and he told us why. Now we will hear from Democratic State Representative Katrina Shankland. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, we will hear from conservative blogger David Blaska and the Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin, Jay Heck. We welcome your questions and concerns for all of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Katrina Shankland is a Democratic State Representative from Stevens Point and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. Well, let's just kind of clip through these. Republicans want to restrict when and how the John Doe investigations can be used in Wisconsin, and the Assembly will vote on changes to this today. Under this bill, campaign finance and ethics violations would no longer be subjected to a John Doe. How are you going to vote and why?
Well, I will definitely be opposing this bill because what it does is it gives politicians special privileges. And when I do doors across my district and hear from people across the state, the number one thing I hear is that politicians already have too much power and they're not listening to everyday people. I think there's too much money in politics, and we've heard a lot from people about that over the last few years since the Citizens United decision. And this week is really the death knell for our democracy if all these bills go through. Exempting politicians from John Doe investigations, specifically the bill would exclude illegal conduct, including bribery of public officers and employees and misconduct in office and corrupt means to influence legislation. So to exempt those bills crimes from investigating, and to exempt politicians from investigating those political crimes, really speaks to the fact that Republicans in office want even more power, and also what do they have to hide?
The bill's authors say that the limits are designed to provide extra accountability and transparency to a process that they say has been abused. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think this is obviously an issue where they didn't like being investigated. They really didn't like the investigation between many different groups spending way too much money in politics and potentially coordinating. And this is really just a sour grapes issue where they're going after a process that tends to work very well and that prosecutors across the state have said is important to the integrity of the investigation, as well as it's important to maintaining a clean, open, transparent, and most importantly, accountable government. If we allow politicians to be exempt from political crimes, to be exempt from investigations relating to political crimes, including bribery and misconduct and corruption, we're really sending a message to the state that politicians are above the law. And while the people of Wisconsin have to work hard and follow the laws, it sure doesn't seem like Republican politicians want to have the law applied equally to them. And that says a lot about the consolidation of power that they're trying to do over the past 3 years and the fact that they're trying to grab even more power this week and make it harder for people to vote them out of office and to find out about the political crimes they've committed.
David on Facebook says the rest of the country has grand juries, which are handled similarly to a John Doe proceeding, except that the prosecutor makes his case to a judge rather than a jury of citizens. Interesting that the legislators view themselves as exempt from accountability under this process. I guess when you get to make the rules, ..
Well, and that's it. I mean, this is a case of Republican politicians wanting to grab more power and telling the people of Wisconsin, they're sending a message that they're above the law and they're going to create even more rules to benefit themselves. And that's sad. I think if they had nothing to hide, they would be more than willing to allow the current process to continue. The district attorneys across the state really do rely on this process. It's important to note these investigations frequently can take longer than 6 months, but the bill would require a process to extend the six-month period. So really what they're doing is they're shutting down potentially long-term investigations related to other crimes as well on this bill. So I think it says a lot about the overall agenda, and it speaks to what else we're working on, or I should say voting on this week, related to more money in politics and campaign finance deregulation and basically consolidating power to the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And I think people all over the state should be gravely concerned about what this will do to our state's governance, but also to our future generation and the money and politics that they'll have to unfortunately inherit as well. So I really feel strongly that we need to put a stop to this legislation and that the people of Wisconsin need to speak up now.
Well, Speaker Voss addressed the changes to campaign finance law by saying this, they're not really changes, they're just that it is current law. That's what the courts have said, and this is just Wisconsin adhering to what the courts have said.
Well, so first of all, he's referring to one very narrow court case ruling, not to blowing off the campaign finance limits and allowing corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money, which would be the first time, I believe, in Wisconsin state history that that would occur. I think it's important to note that no other state or federal court has allowed corporations and billionaires to actually coordinate their campaign spending with candidates. And that's what these bills would do. It would also allow for unlimited and secret campaign donations. So that makes, if you're spending money on behalf of a candidate and you're saying, 60 days out of election, we all see those many TV ads and those radio ads, maybe attacking one political candidate especially, you won't have to see that disclosure authorized and paid for by in those last 60 days. Those expenditures will be completely secret. So again, the people of Wisconsin really deserve better than this, and I think they should be very concerned about how the lack of disclosure, the unlimited amounts of money coming from billionaires, people from out of state, people we don't even know, and we won't even be able to track these campaign expenditures. This should all give us great pause. Why do the Republican politicians need these bills, and why are they pushing them? Shouldn't they be able to get elected on their own merits? Why do we need unlimited money in politics? I haven't met a single person outside of the Republican legislature who believes we need more money in politics.
Ross on Facebook says, these are changes of a party that is fading away. All this money is not going to help Republicans in the long run. For a party that is suspicious of government, isn't it ironic that they pass laws to keep the common people from closely watching and investigating it? Ross seems to think that the Republicans are in trouble politically. Do you think they are in terms of staying in power?
Well, if you look at Governor Walker's poll numbers, he's underwater. He's at 37% of people find him favorable right now in Wisconsin. Republicans passed a budget that he introduced that really threw, in my opinion, the people of Wisconsin under the governor's campaign bus as he fled the state to gallivant around the country on the taxpayer dime to run for president. And the Republican budget really didn't put the people of Wisconsin first, and I think their poll numbers regarding the budget reflect that. I do think that they're worried and that, again, they're consolidating power. They're grabbing it wherever they can. They've already limited voting hours. They've already gerrymandered electoral maps to make it easier for them to get reelected. Recall in July, they actually tried to gut Wisconsin's open records laws so that the public and the press couldn't see what they were doing and hold them accountable. Now, these three bills, exempting investigations related to political crimes so politicians can be perceived as above the law, allowing for more money in politics, doubling campaign finance limits, pouring unlimited amounts of campaign money from corporate executives and billionaires into politics. Why do they need these bills, and what do they have to hide? I think their agenda does not speak well to the public's core values. And they know that. They've seen their poll numbers, and they're doing whatever they can to consolidate power now before the next election.
All right. Tomorrow, the Assembly takes up this Republican plan to overhaul the Government Accountability Board. It calls for an equal number of members appointed by Republicans and Democrats to oversee elections and ethics. Speaker Voss said this is bipartisan, not partisan. What's unfair or wrong with this proposal?
So first of all, I think it's important to note that this bill really is not needed. The Government Accountability Board was recently audited, and the results were overall very strong. Secondly, when the Government Accountability Board was created in its new form, it was created out of this caucus scandal where, you know, an influence of corruption had taken over the legislature, and the creation of the Government Accountability Board was bipartisan. In fact, only two legislators, I believe, voted against it. So to create a new system that Republicans have designed, that's really modeled after the failed Federal Elections Commission, which everyone should note is in constant gridlock, that is not to our benefit. Under this bill, partisan appointees would be in charge, and we don't know how experienced they'd be. The current system of having retired judges with experience, with a long tradition and history of nonpartisan ability to make decisions and to be unbiased, fair, and impartial, I think that moving from that system over to a partisan system will not benefit the people of the state, and they should be very worried that partisan appointees will be in charge of both ethics as well as elections. And we should all be worried about the integrity of maintaining and upholding our ethics laws and maintaining fair elections as a result.
We'll have to leave it there for equal time purposes. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. Take care.
Katrina Shanklin, a Democratic state representative from Stevens Point and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader. Now we welcome in David Blaska, a former Dane County supervisor, regular contributor to our Week in Review programs. His Blaska Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. If you would like to join in with your thoughts or questions or views regarding these three pieces of legislation that would change the Government Accountability Board and John Dole laws and campaign finance laws, 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks for joining us. So the Assembly votes today on limiting the reach of John Doe investigations, including preventing prosecutors from using them to look into political crimes. Why do you think the Assembly should pass this?
Well, I think they should pass it. You know, we're criminalizing political speech, and that's the one speech that I think the founders intended to be untrammeled. There were no such regulations in their time, and all of the founders, by the way, were people, men of wealth. So money in politics is nothing new. These people could afford to have a printing done of a key document and have it widely disseminated. That was not easy task in those days. And Joy, I note that the authors of the Federalist Papers were anonymous.
Well, Democratic Representative Gary Hebel of Sun Prairie says these changes make political crimes seem like they're not a big deal. Is he right or wrong?
Well, if you make free speech a crime, then it's a crime. But you've got to ask, what did happen with the John Doe 2 investigations. You had one group of private citizens coordinating or speaking with or communicating with another group of citizens over issues of mutual concern. If you make that a crime, there's that old adage, it's a cliche, but to a hammer, everything is a nail. These two groups are coordinating. They're talking to each other. Heaven forbid. So if that's a crime, does that justify a pre-dawn raid by armed police, a battering ram? We've gone crazy here over trying to somehow put a tourniquet on free speech.
We have a Troy on Facebook who says, I would like to know why campaign contributions are secret. This is not required by First Amendment principles.
I'm not sure what he means by that. I think...
I guess to not disclose that these
well, You know, I think you're right. He's right in the fact that the First Amendment doesn't require it. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law. I think there's I'm actually against, Joy, I'm actually against disclosure now. Why should, in campaign spending limits, the bill does double the amount that that I could give, for instance, to a governor campaign. But why should there be any limit at all? If I want to throw all of my resources into a particular candidate, I should be allowed to do that.
Yeah, so the Assembly votes on this bill that would ease up on campaign finance regulations. Critics say it would make contribution limits meaningless and deregulate the whole system. And you think this would be fine?
Yeah, I do. But, you know, they're still requiring reporting. I'm actually going to the point now where I'm a little bit questionable about that. I do think there's a role for government in campaign finance. Only if you want to assure, for instance, that the Alaska for Governor campaign is a real thing, and then if I send this money to this address, it goes to the campaign. I can see that role, but why should I have to put down that I write for In Business magazine, for instance, or that so and so works somewhere else? Why? Because we're not worried about where Donald Trump is getting his money. We're not worried about where Herb Kohl got his money. So if these people can self-finance, why can't Herb Kohl, for instance, give all of his wealth to David Blaska for my campaign for governor? Why can't he do that? Why must his expenditures be limited? I know Gene McCarthy, you know, going clean for Gene back in 1968. He was largely funded by a single person, a man named Mott, M-O-T-T, who was one of the heirs to the General Motors fortune. You know, that freed up the candidate to actually campaign rather than to wheedle for money.
Because we only have a couple of minutes left with you. Tomorrow the Assembly votes on overhauling the Government Accountability Board. It dismantles it. It turns it into two commissions with partisan appointees, an equal number from Republicans and Democrats. Is this two-commission partisan approach the best way to go?
No, I don't. I'm less concerned about whether Gab's blowing up or not. Obviously, they're paying the price for the complicity in John Doe, too. But to me, it's rearranging the debt chair down like I can. As long as you have campaign finance laws that are very restrictive, you're going to have the speech police come no matter who's running the show. So I think that the bill to loosen up a little bit campaign financing is good. But I also want to say, I don't know that there is such a thing as an impartial judge. You know, we're going to have next spring an election for U.S. Supreme Court. Joanne Kloppenburg clearly is the liberal justice candidate, and Rebecca Bradley clearly is the conservative candidate. So, there is a little bit of mythology about, you know, an impartial judge. We know that especially defense attorneys, but attorneys in every field will go and try to find judges that are sympathetic to their cause.
Yeah, we have just a minute to go, David. Democrats are calling this a siege on democracy and, you know, ushering in corruption. What's your brief response to that?
Well, I don't know. You know, if they find that it's corrupt or one group of citizens they talk to another, one of the fundamental aspects of the First Amendment, besides free speech, is freedom of association. It does no one any good if David Blaster can't coordinate with someone else to enlarge my voice. Speaking by myself, my voice is very puny. If I can join in with other people of like mind and increase the volume of our voice, that should be allowed. And people can make a decision. You know, if a candidate is saying, I want more mining, for instance, do the mining interests, are they supporting them? Are miners supporting that candidate? Are the manufacturers like Desires Erie, now it's Caterpillar, Milwaukee,
And we have to leave it there. David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. The news is next. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We have been getting a roundup of voices different perspectives on legislation that comes before the State Assembly this week. The State Assembly is expected to vote on three major bills this week. One would place new limits on John Doe investigations. Another would split the Government Accountability Board in two. And a third would allow unlimited contributions, campaign contributions to state political parties, among other changes to campaign finance law. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions on these bills. Do you support them? Do you oppose them? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have heard from Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss in support of these changes. We heard from Democratic State Representative from Stevens Point and the Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Katrina Shanklin, who is opposed to these changes. We just heard from conservative blogger David Blaska, and now we will hear from Jay Heck, who is the executive director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's great to be with you, and thanks for letting me bat cleanup here.
Well, we got a lot here, a lot going on in just a little bit of time for everybody, you said in a post on your website that this legislation is a massive assault on democracy and accountability of politicians to citizens.
Well, it really is. You know, in my 20 years at Common Cause, I've never seen a package of legislation that really is such a massive assault on the underpinnings of democracy. It's an incredibly selfish group of bills that really benefit nobody but the political class. And, you know, as others have mentioned, there are no citizens clamoring for these types of changes. And really what they do is they're designed to be partisan and to keep in control the folks who are in control now and, silence the opposition.
Yeah, well, Robin Voss didn't say that. He said that your criticism is just hyperbole, and
sure.
And that the Republicans are fixing flaws. To be brief about it.
Well, you know, the John Doe law, for instance, that's been used since before statehood in Wisconsin. It is unique to Wisconsin, but it's very efficient, it's effective, it's much less costly to taxpayers than the grand jury system, and most importantly, it's very effective in ferreting out corruption in government. And, you know, E. Michael McCann, the DA of Milwaukee County, former DA who prosecuted Chuck Quala in the legislative caucus scandal, has said it would have been impossible to bring to justice the five Republican and Democrat legislative leaders that they did in 2002 without the John Doe process. So by exempting by creating a special carve out for politicians where their crimes will not be investigated but everybody else's will, it's just an incredibly selfish, self-serving piece of legislation that, again, only the political class will benefit from.
Yeah. Well, Republicans say John Doe investigations have been abused and that this bill would provide additional layers of accountability and transparency. How do you respond to that?
Well, no, because, you know, the John Doe process, even in the grand jury, you still have to seize evidence if there's something illegal going on. There's nothing particular about the John Doe process that's wrong. Again, what they're doing is carving out an exemption for political acts. Again, no other citizen's going to benefit from this. And, of course, this is also tied, obviously, to the legislation to destroy the independent, nonpartisan GAB, and then, again, to, you know, lift all limits and put a veil of secrecy over the money in politics. A very, very selfish, self-serving agenda that nobody's asked for. You know, with regard to the GAB, Joy, I was around at the beginning when that was formed, and it was formed because the old State Elections Board and State Ethics Board failed utterly to investigate and ferret out corruption in the Capitol in the late 1990s. And it was a bipartisan, unanimous bill to create the GAB, and everybody said that it needed to be nonpartisan with judges, and it had to have an investigative authority funded separately from the legislature. And what this bill does is it does create a partisan gridlock with three Democrats, three Republicans. And by the way, in a 3-3 tie, nothing happens, no compliance, nothing goes forward. And then by stripping the independent authority for investigations, you'll have the legislative leaders controlling the appropriations for investigations when they might be the subject of the investigation, exactly what happened during the scandal in the caucus scandal in 2002. So that's just a prescription for disaster. And then finally, you know, with regard to the campaign finance bills, you know, just because you can doesn't mean you should with regard to allowing unlimited money and secret money to flow into our elections. And we will be the outlier in the country with regard to allowing coordination between candidate committees and issue ag groups. No other state has authorized that, and no federal court, by the way, has gone as far as to say that that should be legal. So by allowing that to happen, we will flood Wisconsin with far more secret money than we've ever seen before, and all of the rest. And again, it's the people who will be left out in the cold, and bystanders are the voters and the public and the citizens. This is, again, an incredibly selfish agenda, political agenda, that no one's clamored for except special interest groups and in collusion with the leadership. It's no coincidence that the only two names on the campaign finance bill are Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, two leaders, Republican leaders in the legislature, and they will benefit the most from it because the campaign finance bill will allow unlimited money to flow to their treasuries, the legislative campaign committees, which they will be able to dole out and punish their members who try to be independent. They are consolidating almost absolute dictatorial control by having this campaign finance bill shoved through the legislature, which the public didn't see less than 12 days ago. No one knew what was in it, and most people still don't know what's in it.
Let's take some calls. Todd in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Todd.
Good morning. Yes. The interesting thing about this is that if this is reported as an action without any context as to why, in other words, what this actually is a reaction to the action of the Democrats who have abused the John Doe probe and have abused public finance laws in the past, too. In the John Doe case, you had people actually charging into people's homes in pre-dawn raids with SWAT teams. And where has that ever happened when you had the Democrats in control, the Republicans in control? And you've got issues like this that are happening, but what's being reported is that this is more or less like an action with no basis or no reason for a reaction, and this is actually the reaction to the Democrats' overreach and abuse of the John Doe system and of the campaign finance laws that they themselves have abused over time. Plus,
Jay Heck.
Well, of course, so much of the hype about the so-called pre-dawn raids with battering rams and all the rest is manufactured hyperbole. That's been proven by the release of the tape that showed exactly what happened when they went into one of the people involved in this thing. It was manufactured by the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal and the National Review. That has been used as an excuse for all of this, and it's utterly outrageous that that would be the basis to change so many things that we have here in Wisconsin that have been effective in trying to fight corruption. They've used it as the basis to try to get rid of the GAB, which is not involved in the seizure of evidence. So this is all built on a premise that has no foundation. And again, it's selfish, and it's merely to try to consolidate power and control in the hands of a very few, top down, in the Wisconsin legislature. And again, citizens are the people left outside wondering what the heck's happening to their state.
Yeah. Well, you wrote that the plan to overhaul the Government Accountability Board is completely unjustified.
Totally.
What about the GAB, not following its own rules and that audit?
Again, if you look in the audit, there are a few things that need to be improved. But this is a state agency that's 8 years old. You know, we have state agencies that have been in existence for 100 years that have problems, and you constantly have to fix them. But most of the charges that were made by the authors of this legislation have been proven by the Legislative Audit Bureau, which, by the way, is headed by two Republican legislators, to be without foundation. And again, this is based on the fact that there are decisions that the GAB made, six impartial retired judges, that they didn't like and they couldn't control. And that's really what this is about. And again, to replace it with six partisans will take us exactly where we were back in 2002 when Wisconsin underwent the greatest political scandal in its history. And I'm astonished by the lack of context and memory. People don't seem to remember how paralyzed state government was back in those days. And I just can't imagine that we'd want to return there. And I can't imagine that so many Republicans who supported an independent government accountability board with impartial retired judges will want to replace it with partisans again. It just doesn't make any sense. And that's why, in a period of less than 2 weeks, all of this legislation was unveiled, the campaign finance and the GAB legislation, and is being shoved through in quick order, hoping that the people of Wisconsin will absorb it and then forget about it in time for Thanksgiving. Yeah,
we have just a minute or so to go. What's going to be the net effect of these bills, assuming they all pass and become law?
Well, Wisconsin will go from a state that was once heralded as a national model for its state elections and campaign finance and ethics oversight board. At one time, its campaign finance laws. And even the John Doe process, to something between maybe Mississippi and Texas. We will be far down the list in terms of accountability of the politicians to the people, and we will have a campaign finance system that actually will be amongst the worst in the country because of the veil of secrecy that will be put over Wisconsin politics and money as a result of the legalization of the coordination between outside groups with candidates. So it's a pretty sad day. I am heartened by the fact that there are many Wisconsinites who have realized what's happening and are pushing back. And I know that the calls and the letters coming into the Capitol are at least 100-1 against this. So legislators ought to listen to the people on this one, take a deep breath, and stop what they're doing.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, to Elizabeth Deliquess for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.